I appreciate Matt and Susie's passion for the gospel and the fact that they named this church Good News Church, because it's you guys are about taking the gospel to others. Amen. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. I also want to just brag on you this morning, because I go to a lot of churches and I see a lot of video announcements. And honestly, I put Frank Ball's this morning right up there at the top. I'm serious. That was very warm and welcoming. I felt very welcomed, not just because you mentioned my name in it, but seriously, any visitor should feel very, very at home listening to that. So thank you, brother. And also, I want to brag on Justin Deemer for just a minute. Everybody point at him back there. Justin and Arlene are dear friends. I knew them back when they were in Pennsylvania before they moved to Georgia, and I actually recommended that they come to this church. But this past January, I lost my dad. He was in the hospital for 2 years with a brain injury, and he died in January at age 90. And my dad was in the Navy, and Justin called me up and said, "Can I come and present the flag to your mom?" And he didn't have to do that, but he and Arlene drove 3 hours to LaGrange. I live on the other side of Georgia, and they came all the way for my dad's funeral, and it was like the highlight of the whole day that he was able to do that. So thank you, Justin. I wanted to do that publicly. Thank you for honoring my dad, and just the fact that you were there in your uniform and marching up there and kneeling in front of my mom. I mean, all my girls just lost it when that happened. And so we were very grateful for that. So thank you. Yay. So this is, as I said, this is Good News Church. You guys know that. And as I was praying about what to share this morning, I felt like the Lord said that I needed to speak into the DNA of who you are as a church, because every church has a sort of a specific character, a specific flavor. And when I think of Good News Church, when I think of Matt and Susie, I think of evangelism. I think of outreach. Amen? And if you guys have been here for a while, you know that is really what this church is all about. I mean, you do other things, but there, I appreciate that about Good News Church, because I go to a lot of churches that seem very content to stay in the four walls and sort of just become comfortable pew sitters. But that is not who you are. Amen? And, you know, not everybody wants to be a part of a church that's constantly talking about going out. But, you know, some people would rather just be a little complacent. But I'm glad you are here, and I'm glad you're part of this, because I want to speak into that DNA, and I feel like God has something even more for you guys in that realm. Amen? Amen. How many of you want that? So I want you to just turn to somebody, shake their hand, and I want you to say, "Get your hands dirty." Now that you've touched them, you're dirty, right? And don't get the hand sanitizer out. You don't have any of that. No, it's not allowed this morning. Yeah, we're actually going to talk about washing hands. I'm going to take you to a passage in the book of Mark, and we do have the scripture on the screen. This is a story of a confrontation that Jesus had with the Pharisees, and it happened to be about washing hands. So if you look at this, Matthew 7, and we're going to actually read the first 7 or 8 verses, but we have it on the screen for you, or you can look along. But let me read this here. It says, "The Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him when they had come from Jerusalem and had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands," that is, unwashed. "For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat their bread with impure hands?" Now listen to Jesus and his reaction to this. And Jesus said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men.'" Wow. Did you hear the tone in Jesus' words to them? Now, the deal when Jesus is talking about traditions, the issue here is that the Pharisees, who were very religious, they were very observant, they had the Old Testament, and they were very, very careful. They were always looking at what rules to obey in the Old Testament. But they didn't just use the Old Testament. They actually had other rules that they came up with. Because the spirit of religion always adds extra rules. And so they had created so many extra rules that were not in the Bible. They had rules about everything. Rules about every kind of behavior in life. And these extra rules, they were not, at first they were not written down. They were just passed down orally. And the Pharisees would meet with their disciples and they would sort of recite these rules. And then you would kind of learn them that way. Many years later, they wrote them down. They became like an extra book that's called the Talmud that the Jews use. You know, wherever there is a spirit of religion, there's always an extra book. And sometimes that extra book gets bigger than the Bible. But these guys had rules about everything, and they had so many rules about cleanliness. And they had, you know, when you go in to eat, you have to wash your hands a certain way. And then after you eat, you wash your hands a certain way. And you have to wash your pots and your pans a certain way. And you can't cook with this and that. And you have to do it all in a very ceremonial way. And the whole purpose of that was so that you could be holy. And so they were obsessed with this. And they're looking at Jesus, and apparently Jesus' disciples were not going through the motions of all these rules and regulations. Because you know why? Because they had encountered Jesus. All of a sudden they discovered it. It's really about love. It's about a relationship with God. You don't have to go through all these motions to be right with God. But it's about having that love relationship. So Jesus' disciples were they were disobeying the traditions, and these Pharisees freaked out. And they come to Jesus and go, "Why are they not following our rules?" And Jesus rebukes them at that point and said, "Your traditions have actually nullified the Word of God." That's pretty heavy stuff. The spirit of religion is there to stop us from actually knowing God and from fulfilling His purpose for our life. And it also puts up a barrier between us and other people. Because the Pharisees, really, their thing was they were washing their hands all the time because they didn't want to get contaminated by others. And a lot of their rules had to do with who they would not be around and who they would not talk to and who they would not touch, because they didn't want those people to make them unholy. And Jesus didn't like that, because that is not the heart of the gospel. Amen? When I talk about this washing hands thing, it reminds me when I was a kid growing up, and I grew up in Georgia, in Atlanta, and my relatives all lived over in LaGrange where I live now. And my grandmother was really, really obsessed about us being clean. Didn't anybody in here have a grandmother like that? And when I would go to visit her, she always had this routine about our hands being washed. But she didn't say, "Did you rinse your hands?" She said, "Did you wrench your hands?" Does anybody say that in Augusta? And I thought, when I was a kid, I actually thought there was two different words. I thought rinse was different from wrench. Because wrench was, it hurt. When you rinse your hands, they are red after your grandmother washes them. She rinses your hands, right? And she was very fastidious about, you know, her house and about everything being perfect. And, you know, it's okay if you have a clean house. I'm not against having clean hands. But the point is, if our religiosity is keeping us from people, there's a problem. And when I look at the life of Jesus and I study the Gospels, I find that Jesus actually went out of his way to touch the people that the Pharisees wouldn't touch. And so I kind of take my clues from that and I actually figured out who we are supposed to be reaching. And so we're going to look at that this morning. And if you can just write, you can just make a list if you're taking notes. We're going to look at six different people that Jesus touched, six different kinds of people, you can change that up there, that Jesus touched, and you can't see that because it's not there. So, but Jesus touched six different kinds of people. And the first kind that I want to go into this morning is women. Would you put that up there? Now, when we talk about Jesus touching women, you got to understand I'm not talking about it in a wrong way, okay? Because we're in a cultural issue right now in our culture where women are starting to come forward and talk about how they were touched inappropriately. And I am celebrating the fact that that's happening because we've been burying this problem in our culture for too long. But see, in the days of Jesus, the Pharisees had this rule that they didn't like women, they didn't want to be around women, they didn't want to have conversations with women. They actually had rules about that. And they had rules about if a woman was coming down the street, the Pharisee would get on the other side of the street because he didn't want to be contaminated by women. And they also had this rule that especially during that time of the month when a woman was in her menstrual cycle, that she was especially unclean. And so the Pharisees had a rule about that. And that's why women who were in that kind of situation, they were actually shunned by culture, and they were actually not even expected to be around the synagogue during that time. It kind of puts a different perspective when you think about the woman in the Bible who was bleeding. The Bible says she bled. She had been bleeding for 12 years, and most Bible scholars believe that what was going on with her, she had some kind of a female problem, and it would be the equivalent of like a woman having a 12-year-long period. Can you imagine that, ladies? That's painful. And if that's not only pain, but it's also being rejected simply because of your gender, you understand why women were in such a place of rejection in that society. And so that kind of puts a different light when you look at the life of Jesus and you see how intentional he was about going to women and ministering to them and setting them free and healing them. Jesus went to the people that the Pharisees ignored. And there was a time when Jesus walked into a synagogue, and the Bible says that there was a woman in that synagogue who had been demonized. She'd been tormented by a spirit for 18 years. And the Bible says that Jesus called her to himself. Now, that's a pretty radical thing because back in those days, women could not sit up in the front like some of you are now. Women didn't sit in the front of the church. They were always in the back. Sometimes they were behind a partition. And the Bible says that Jesus called her to himself and he laid hands on that woman and all of a sudden she stood up for the first time in 18 years. He touched her. He healed her. He identified with her and with her pain. And when he did that, she was completely and totally healed. How many of you believe that there are women in Augusta, Georgia right now who have been rejected, who have been abused, who have been living in abusive marriages, who maybe experienced the kind of sexual harassment or sexual abuse that we're hearing about in our wider culture today? They might not be Hollywood stars, but they are suffering because of things that were done to them. And then in our culture, sometimes we're not really supposed to talk about that. Guess what? Jesus would bring a woman like that to the front and he would heal her. And if we are going to be the church of Jesus Christ, we have to care about those people that society ignores. Amen? This is the heart of the ministry that we are doing, that I'm doing with the Mordecai Project. I want to just show you a couple of pictures. If you'd go to that next photo, this is just some women in India that were in a meeting that I did recently. And I can tell you that in some of the countries that I go, it's unbelievable the level of pain that you feel in women's lives. Because in a culture like India, which is predominantly Hindu, people don't care if a woman has been abused or if she's been sexually harassed or raped. And in India right now, there's a huge issue going on because of rape, because there is so much of it. It is a rape culture. And a lot of times when a woman is raped, she is basically considered the problem. She's blamed. They tell her that she caused that. And so women don't even want to come forth and file any kind of complaint, because they know that they're going to be treated like you know, the problem. And so how many of you know Jesus cares about that? And if we are in a culture where that's going on, we're not being the hands and feet of Jesus until we go and bring His love to people like that. If you go to the next picture, you're going to, this is a little hard to comprehend, but you'll notice that this woman right there is missing a hand. This is a woman from Guatemala where we're building a domestic violence shelter right now. That lady lost her hand because a relative took a machete to her. Cut her hand, both. He actually cut both of her hands off. The other one they were able to reattach, but she can't use it. This is the reality of life in Guatemala. And in that culture, you know, a lot of times women's pain is ignored. But if we're going to be the gospel, if we're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, then we got to care about this kind of thing. It's hard to look at. It's hard to think about the pain that a woman would go through like that. But Jesus would be right there ministering to her. This last picture here is, I was just a few months ago, and I was telling Matt and Susie about it last night, that I just got back at the end of March from Central Asia, and we were in the nation of Kyrgyzstan. And after I got back from that trip, I actually had about a week where I was not functioning properly emotionally, because I have never encountered the level of emotional pain in people in my life. This is a group of women who were in one of our meetings, and they have a situation there that is, I have a cultural phenomenon that's called bride stealing. And basically what it is when a guy decides to get married, he gets some of his buddies together, they go out and they kidnap the girl that he wants to marry. They kidnap her, take her to a house, the guy rapes her, and then he says, "You have to marry me," and her parents and the parents of the guy all go along with it, and they agree, and they force her to marry him. So, and it happens 1,000 times a month in Kyrgyzstan. So when women came to the altar to receive prayer in our meetings, the level of pain that you could sense in those women was beyond anything I've ever experienced. Can you imagine your marriage starts with rape, and then it is like abuse from then on, and they are forced to stay in those situations? That's unbelievable, but I want you to know there are women like that in Augusta, Georgia. And who is reaching them? I want to challenge you, Good News Church. I believe that a lot of religious people don't really care about this, because you have to dig down and you have to find those people. But I believe you are a church that's called to do that. And some of you may actually be called specifically into that kind of ministry. And God may be anointing you, and I believe He's going to anoint some people while I'm here today and tonight for these kinds of challenges. Are you ready? So the first kind of people that Jesus reached was women. Number two, if you go to the next picture, you'll see, and my fonts aren't loaded very well, but that says children right there. Jesus Christ touched children. You remember there was a time, and let me give you the scripture reference. It was in Mark 10, verse 13. We're not going to go there. But there was a time when Jesus was preaching, and the Bible says the people were bringing children to him. And Jesus was taking them and holding them in his lap and bouncing him on his knee and playing with them and blessing them. And even Jesus' disciples had a hard time with this. Because the Pharisees did not do that. The Pharisees believed that children should be seen and not heard. They stay with their moms. They stay in the kitchen. They stay out of the way. And real men don't play with kids. How many of you are glad Jesus wasn't that way? Jesus said, what did he say? He said, let the children come. And he invited all the kids to sit on his knee, and he's playing with them, and he's getting all kinds of runny nose germs. And can you imagine the germs in first century Israel when they didn't have hand sanitizer and they didn't have wipes and they didn't have Huggies? They didn't have those things. They used cloth diapers that were like rags, and they had to be hand washed. And they didn't have all the sanitizing things that we have now. And Jesus Christ was willing to get all those dirty fluids all over him. It's like when I'm hanging out with my grandsons and they've been playing outside and they come in and they want to jump on me and they rub all that stuff all over me. I don't care. But you know what? If we're going to reach the people that Jesus wants to reach, we're going to have to get some snot on us. And I don't know anything about your children's ministry here, but I know that there are kids in Augusta, Georgia, who are not in church this morning, and I believe you as a church are called to reach them. How do we do that? And you know what? It might not just be on Sunday morning that we do it. Reaching kids is something that the church right now is, I think we're missing the opportunity. Because if we want to really turn this nation around, we sure better go for the youngest and capture their hearts while they can be captured. Amen? Somebody in this room is being called to some kind of significant outreach to kids. And it might be in your neighborhood. It might be at a park. I don't know. God's going to give some creative downloads. Because we got to come up with some new ways, folks. Because Sunday morning isn't cutting it. Hello? And it's not waiting for Pastor Matt or Pastor Susie or Pastor Nate or Kristen or those people to come up with all the ideas. Some of you are sitting on a gold mine right now and you don't even realize that God wants to use you to do that. Amen? Now, I know this is not the kind of message where you get up and shout, because I'm talking about work. I'm talking about us getting to work. I'm talking about us rolling up our sleeves. I don't have sleeves to roll up right now, but it's time to do that. Jesus touched the kids. And the religious culture hated it and hated him for it. Number three, let's go to the next one. Go ahead and pass that. Jesus touched the dead. Now, I'm not asking all of you to run down to the funeral parlor today. But you know, in Jesus' day, the Pharisees had very strict rules about dead bodies, and the rule was you do not touch that. It's going to contaminate you. And so, that was a no-no. But you know, when Jesus Christ raised some people from the dead, he broke that rule. It says in one spot in Mark 5:41, when Jairus' daughter had died, the Bible says Jesus went into her room with the parents. And what does it say? It says he laid his hands on her. And he said, little girl, get up. And in that moment, that girl, that 12-year-old girl, was raised to life. Jesus broke a religious rule to perform a miracle. He touched her dead body. Now, again, I'm not saying go down to the funeral home. I know that sometimes God raises people from the dead, and I think we should be open to that. But it's not just about dead bodies. I think there are certain people that we consider dead, that we consider off limits to us, and so we're afraid of going near those people. And God is challenging the church right now. Get over your religious hang-ups and be willing to go and be near those people that the church has told us to be afraid of. Are we willing to do that? Good News Church, are you willing to do that?
Yes.
One of those groups, I would say, if I can just be honest with you, is Muslims. I get around some Christians and it's like there's so much fear about Muslims. I was in this one city in Florida once, and it was a relatively small town in Florida, and I heard some of the church members talking, and they were lamenting the fact that there was a mosque that was being built in their town, and they were like, we need to pray that this mosque doesn't get built, and oh no, the Muslims are coming. And I'm like, which do you think would be easier? For us to reach them when they're here, or for us to go to their country? Do you think maybe God might be bringing some of these people here, that we win them to Jesus here, and then they actually could go and win their country? Would that actually be easier? Would that maybe be a strategy of the Holy Spirit? Who is more powerful? Is the God of Islam more powerful than the God of Elijah? I don't think so. But if you listen to some Christians, we're so afraid of being around this. But folks, we are going to have to be willing to make relationships. We're going to have to be willing to go to places that are a little scary. And I have friends in some countries. In fact, when I was recently in Central Asia, I found out that one of my friends has been invited to go to mosques and speak. And he goes and preaches the gospel inside of mosques. Because those people are just like, tell us what... They're actually more open than we realized.
Yes. Yes.
And imams, Muslim imams in places like Kyrgyzstan are inviting Christian pastors to come and speak to their audiences. I think that kind of blows our paradigms because we didn't think that they did that. But folks, let's just be open to the people that God wants us to reach. Amen. Number four, and I think this one is a really important one for Augusta. God wants us to reach sinners. Are there any sinners in Augusta? But this is also a religious city.
Yeah.
True?
Yeah.
And so what happens when there's a religious spirit, the religious spirit is on the church, and the church says, well, we're holy, and we wash our hands, and we wash our cups and our pots, and we don't do it like them, and we don't smoke, and we don't drink, and we don't swear, and we don't do those things, and so we're over here, and we're separated, and we're holy, and then these people are over here. So we have this great divide, and that's been the way it is. You know what? We got to change that in Augusta, Georgia. The church is called to be separate from sin, but we are not called to be separated from sinners. Hello? We are actually called to be friends of sinners. You know, that was a word that people used to describe Jesus, a phrase. They said he's a friend of sinners, and that was used like a bad thing. Like the Pharisees would say, he's a friend of sinners. Actually, that would be a good thing for you to be accused of that, right? Jesus was accused of it, but a lot of times we aren't because we don't have friends who are in the world. But this is how Jesus was. And you know, I believe we're in a season right now in the church when God is dealing with this. I love the story of when Jesus went to this village and he preached, and there was a guy named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, that short little guy who climbed up in the tree, and he's watching Jesus from up here, and he's a really interesting guy because he was a tax collector, which meant that politically he was on the side of the Romans, and all the other Jews that lived in that community hated the Romans, and they didn't like the taxation, and they hated Zacchaeus because of his position. In other words, guess what, folks? Politics can create division between people, and politics can actually, hinder our gospel witness.
Yeah.
Because If you refuse to talk to somebody about Jesus because of their political persuasion, then the devil has just won. You know what? We're in that place today. Can I talk to you real honestly?
Yes.
We're in that place today where, you know, we want to hang around with people who have our political views. And sometimes in the church, we try to adopt our, this is what we believe and these are our politics. But guess what? If there's people over here who don't actually see it the same way you do, and they might be on the opposite side of the Democratic-Republican spectrum, they might be on the opposite side from you, but Jesus still loves them. And if we can't go to them and take the gospel, then there's a problem. In the American church today, we have a lot of Christians who are red, and we have some Christians who are blue, and we don't talk to each other. And my rule sometimes is I don't want to talk about those things. I'd rather talk about something up here that we can be unified, because I don't want to create a big argument in my house. But, you know, if you are a political conservative, are you able to share the gospel with somebody who's liberal? Can you do that? We should be able to. Hello? Are y'all hearing me this morning?
Yes.
I mean, Zacchaeus was like, you know, it would be like walking into a Trump convention and then there's one liberal Democrat in the tree. And what did Jesus do? Jesus wasn't taking sides. Jesus was not about a political agenda. He said to that liberal guy up there, the guy that was for Rome, the guy that was for taxation from Rome, he said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. And Jesus went to his house and had lunch with him, and it transformed Zacchaeus' life. And he wanted to be Jesus' friend from that moment on. And he was willing to pay back all. And he actually had kind of a political conversion too. He changed some of his views. He gave back all the money he'd stolen. If we would just share Jesus and look past our political persuasions, you know, we would reach more people for Jesus. Amen? That doesn't mean you don't have strongly held views. I'm not knocking anybody's views here. It's not about that, but it's about there is a king named Jesus, and he's up here, and he transcends all other politics. And every person, whether they are a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, whatever they are, they need the gospel.
Yes. Yep.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Y'all hearing me?
Yes.
So, Jesus reached sinners. Number five, and that word is not there. My fonts are not loading. That picture should say untouchables. So there was a moment when, or there was actually several times in the Gospels where Jesus Christ would encounter a leper. And in those times, lepers were the people that everybody stayed away from. And the Pharisees thought, you don't touch those people. And it was a really serious thing. You didn't want to get around a leper because, you know, you knew you could get contaminated. But when Jesus Christ would minister to a leper in every case, pretty much, the Bible says he put his hands on them. Now, let me see a show of hands this morning. How many of you have ever touched a leper? I thought I saw a hand here. No? Anybody? Okay, let me show you this picture. Go ahead to the next one. So, this is a leper colony in India. And I was there, this was about 3 years ago, and this pastor who was hosting me said, oh, by the way, this afternoon, before we go to the meeting, I'm taking you to this leper colony, and we're going to do a little devotion. He said, I want you to speak to them for just a few minutes, and then we have some gifts for them. We actually have clean new blankets for these lepers, and we're going to present these blankets to them, and I'm going to involve you in that. So I'm like, okay, so I'd never been to a leper colony before. So we come to this meeting, and Honestly, I had not done my homework. I hadn't really studied that much about leprosy. And so I had a little bit of fear going on. I kind of thought if you touch a leper, that's a very serious disease. It causes nerve damage. It causes parts of your body to fall off. It can cause your nose to fall off. It can cause your ears to fall off. It can cause certain fingers to fall off. So I was kind of like, I'm a little nervous here. And so then we go, and so I shared a little devotion to them. And then the pastor said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to hand you the blanket, and then I would like for you to hand that blanket to the leper, each leper, and that we're going to present them individually like that. So I'm thinking, okay, in my mind, I'm thinking, I have to do this in a way that I do not touch any skin. So he gives me the blanket, and then I kind of like go like this. Okay, that's one, and then he gives me the blanket, and this other leper comes up, and I kind of like do that. And we went through all of these people. They all got their blankets, and I hadn't touched anybody. And I was going, whew. I mean, I'm just being honest. I didn't really know how this worked. And so, I'm looking at some of these people. Some of them are missing fingers, and they've got disfigured faces and so forth, and it was just very, very scary looking. Well, then, when we were getting ready to leave, I'm just about ready to get in the car, and we're waving goodbye, and this guy in the orange shirt in the front, he's missing several fingers, and he's got this very gross-looking bandage around his hands. And he comes up to me, and there was just this look in his eyes like he didn't want us to leave. And then he stretched out his hands to say goodbye. And I froze. What do I do? Do I just wave and run to the car? I couldn't. And so I grabbed his hand with both my hands, shook his hands, said goodbye, and I went and got in the car. Sat down. The pastor got in, we closed the door, we start driving off. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I feel itching. You know that feeling? All of a sudden you can feel something creepy crawling on your hands. And so I said, Pastor, I need to say something. He goes, I said, I don't really know how this works, but I think maybe you might need to take me to a clinic. I said, I don't know, but I touched that guy. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I just couldn't resist. And I touched his hands, and he was missing fingers. And I touched that bandage that had some blood on it. And I'm thinking, is there like a shot that I need or some kind of immunization or something? And I'm still itching, and it's getting worse. And that pastor said, oh, no, Pastor Lee, you don't have to worry. He said, really, don't worry. You can't get it that way. And then he said, did you notice the woman that was there with us in the blue dress? Did you see this lady on the right in that blue sari? He goes, that lady's not a leper. She's a Christian. She goes there 3 times a week. She's been going there for years. He said, she goes and she feeds those people. She loves on them. She shares the love of Jesus with them. She lays her life down. She even takes her 8-year-old son with her. He was there that day. And he's been around those people all this time. And he's never gotten it. She's never gotten it. You don't need to worry. And then I felt terrible. Because I thought, I should have just gone around and loved on every one of them and hugged every one of them. You know, that's how Jesus' love is. But the truth of the matter is, folks, there are people in Augusta, Georgia. They may not be lepers, but there are people who are like untouchables in our culture. I don't know in Augusta who's in that category. I saw a homeless man yesterday when I was driving toward my hotel, and he was standing on the intersection there, right when you get off the interstate with this sign. There's people like that. There's teenagers that are runaways. There's people that have sexual dysfunction, that they're considered, You know, we put them over here on this category. There's so many kinds of people that we have relegated to the untouchable category. But I am asking you this morning as a church, are you willing to roll up your sleeves and go after them? I don't think a whole lot of churches in this city are necessarily in that place and ready to do it, but I believe this is a church that is. Because you've been trained for a long, long time to be looking for opportunity to share the love of Jesus. And there are people like that that most churches wouldn't go near. But I'm challenging you this morning, get your hands ready to touch those that maybe you might even be a little scared to go near. Are we okay with that? Okay, so we've gone through, we've talked about women, we've talked about children, we've talked about the dead, we've talked about sinners, we've talked about the untouchables. There's one more category that Jesus touched that I want to challenge you about this morning. And then I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for your hands. But we're going to go to one more scripture. When Jesus confronted the Pharisees in that story in Mark 7, after he blasted them, he confronted them about their religiosity. Then the Bible says he went elsewhere, and he went on a little journey. And he actually went to a place called Decapolis. It was in the north of Israel. It was a different kind of place. And Bible scholars will tell you that Decapolis was not just a Jewish area. It was a mixed area. It was an area where a lot of Greeks had come and a lot of people from other cultures. So it was a very mixed group of people. Jesus actually went into that place. And then he performed a very interesting miracle that I want to read to you this morning in this verse. This is also in Mark 7. Keep in mind, Jesus has just rebuked rebuked the Pharisees for being so worried about cleanliness and washing hands. Okay? So let's keep that in mind as you read this. Again, Jesus went out from the region of Tyre and came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee within the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they implored him to lay his hand on him. Jesus took him aside from the crowd by himself and put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva, and looking up to heaven with a deep sigh, he said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed, and he began speaking plainly. And he gave them orders not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. And they were utterly astonished, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Now, did anybody see what I saw there? Jesus just rebuked the Pharisees because they were so obsessed about washing their hands. And then he goes to this place, and it's like he's saying, "Okay, I want to get as unclean and gross as possible." And so he ministers to this guy, and most likely the man that he is praying for here was not a Jew. Keep that in mind, because Decapolis, the people that lived there were not. He was either a Greek or he was a Phoenician or he was somebody that the Pharisees didn't believe in talking to. Because the Pharisees, not only were they so religious in their traditions, they were also racist. And they thought they only could be around Jews. They could only talk to Jewish people. That was their world. That was their little enclosure. And they didn't look outside of that. And so, Frank, would you do me a favor and come up here? I want you to be involved in this demonstration. I want to show you how this worked. So, this guy comes to Jesus, and keep in mind, he's a different race, okay? Jews would have had a problem with this. And so, Jesus says, "Okay, so you can't talk and you can't hear. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to stick my finger in your ear." Okay? No hand sanitizer. So then he pulls his finger out so you have earwax. And then it says he spit on his hand. So you got saliva and earwax. Right? And then he's like, okay, stick out your tongue. And he's going to touch his tongue. You got his earwax. Anybody ever tasted earwax? You got his earwax. You got Jesus's saliva. You got his saliva. I can see if there were any Pharisees in there, they would have been hyperventilating at that point. And this guy is not Jewish. I mean, you know, he's black or he's Greek or he's something else. And we got this saliva thing going on. Now, and when he did that, how's it taste?
Good.
Hey, when he did that, the guy's mouth was open and he could speak again and his ears were open and he could hear. You think he cared about the saliva and the earwax?
No.
Okay, give Frank a good hand. Thank you. Do you see what's going on here? You know, I don't think that, because I've had people say, now, what about Jesus when he spit? Do you think that was like some kind of a strategy we need to teach in our healing seminars? No, Jesus was not giving us steps to healing there. Jesus was making a point. And I believe he was mostly telling his disciples, because he was always doing his miracles so that his disciples would watch him. The disciples had all been there when Jesus said and rebuked the Pharisees for their obsession about clean hands. Jesus was saying, hey, it's not about that. It's not about keeping your hands so clean and so pure. In fact, it's really okay if you get some saliva on you, you get some earwax on you. It's really okay if you get some germs on you, because the point is, I want to heal people. I want to set people free. And you're going to have to get dirty to do that. You're going to have to actually cross some lines to do that. You're going to actually have to go to some people that you might even get criticized for going to. Those Pharisees, if they had been there and seen that, they would have really freaked out. Because religion doesn't go to those places. And religion doesn't reach out. And religion doesn't break out of the box. And religion doesn't touch, you know, the people that our culture says are off limits. I love that about Jesus Christ, that he was willing to do that. And so he touched that guy, and the result was he got his voice back. He got his hearing back. His life was changed forever, and because Jesus was willing to get his hands dirty. Amen?
Amen.
Are you all ready to do that?
Yes.
Are you ready to get some saliva on you?
Yes.
Are you ready to get some leprosy on you?
Yes.
Are you ready to have some creepy, crawly germs that might make you itch after you've been there? Because I think if we aren't willing to go and get in that kind of position, I'm not sure if we're ever going to get the job done, because we can't get it done from our little sanctified box, our little, you know, church walls. We can't do it all from here. Would you be willing right now to just lift your hands like this? I want everybody in here, just hold your hands out to Jesus. And seriously, this morning, I'm asking you to make, this is what we call a prayer of consecration. The Bible says that we should present the members of our body to God for His purpose. And this morning, I'm asking that you would, in a fresh way, open your heart and your life and give Jesus your hands and tell Him that you are willing for Him to use your hands in a new way. The Holy Spirit told me that Good News Church, even though you are a church that's all about outreach, and you've had a history of outreach, and you've done a whole lot of really cool, creative things in outreach, the Lord said to me that He's taking you to another level of that. And it's not going to just be a few that are organizing and leading that and doing that, but He's looking for every one of us. In fact, the Lord says there are some people in this room today that you've really never engaged in outreach before because you have just felt disqualified, or you felt like your own problems were too big, or you've just felt like who would ever want to hear anything from you, and you've put yourself down, and God is saying, I really, really, really want to use your hands, and I really want to use your life to reach the people that are around you. So would you lift those hands to God right now? And Father, I am asking that You would anoint afresh our hands. Lord, that You would empower us and give us a boldness to be able to cross the lines and to touch these people, Lord, that religion refuses to touch. I pray that, Lord, You will use Good News Church to reach the women in this community who are hurting and who are abused and who are suffering. I pray, Lord, that You would use this church to reach the children who are lost, whose parents are maybe not around, or they don't go to church. That there's so many kids in this city that, Lord, right now, today, they are languishing because they need somebody to love them and show them who Jesus Christ really is. Those kids need to be able to crawl into Jesus' lap and know His love. Father, there are those of us who are called to reach the dead. There are some segments of the population of Augusta, Georgia that have not been reached with the gospel. There are communities in this city that have been off limits to the church. And I'm asking, Lord, that we would not fear anyone, but we would be willing to go wherever You send us. And Lord, that includes people in false religions and cults and all kinds of what we might consider scary things. Father, I pray that You would use Good News Church to reach the sinners in this community. Lord, there are so many that maybe have been turned off by religion in this community, and they think that all Christians are just condemning them and judging them. But Lord, I pray You would use us to prove that differently. And Lord, there are untouchables in this community, and I'm asking that You would empower us to not be afraid of those people and to go and to tell who You are to them. And then, Lord, there are those of other races. And Lord, it's not just a black-white thing anymore. Lord, we've got Hispanics, we've got immigrants, we've got people from many, many cultures right here in Augusta. And some of those people think that Christians don't care about them. I pray, Lord, that Good News Church will be empowered by the Holy Ghost to cross through every racial and ethnic barrier in this city, to go in and to take the gospel to those communities. And Lord, that we'll do whatever it takes. And Lord, we will get our hands dirty as we lift our hands to You right now. Father, we give You our fears. We give You the fear of speaking. We give You the fear of crossing the lines. We give You the fear of maybe what those people might do to us. Lord, we know that that fear is really from the devil. It's not real. And I pray that You would break the fears off of us and give this congregation a new boldness like never before to go in and take Your love and Your gospel and Your truth to those people. And I am asking that as we roll up our sleeves again and as we give our hands to You, Lord, I'm asking that You will grow this church, that You will empower Good News Church, Lord, to break into new segments of this community, and Lord, that we will see the harvest like never before. Would You bring a harvest to this church in Jesus' name? Give Jesus your hands right now. Give Him your fears. Give Him your fears of getting contaminated. And receive His grace right now and a new boldness to share your faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you can reach out and shake somebody else's hand again and say, get your hands dirty. And I'm going to ask Pastor Matt to come up. And tonight, those of you who are going to come back tonight, I hope you all can come and I hope you'll bring friends. And we're going to just kind of have a Holy Ghost night. I'm going to share a few things and I'm going to just ask the Holy Spirit to take over. And I don't know if there's going to be prophetic ministry or healing or what, but I'm just I'm asking the Holy Spirit to ignite His power in you in a fresh way tonight. So if you need a fresh anointing for what we're talking about today, just come back tonight and we're going to lay hands on you and see God do that. Amen. God bless you.